Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I think it was when I was in a job, I started realizing the word reality had just being co-opted to mean anything pessimistic. And so I got really curious, which I encourage everyone to do. You know, don't try to reprogram yourself. Try to get curious about what is actually realistic in a situation. So for example, if someone going to come to me and say, maybe they have a business or they're in a job and say, I can't possibly change this because I can't make enough money doing the thing I want to make, or I can't make enough money doing anything else. And I first thing I ask is, well, what else would you want to do? And often they come back and say, I don't know. And I'm like, so you're basing your ideas on what's realistic based on an alternative you don't even know yet.
Yeah.
That you haven't, you know what I mean? Like, that's what we need. We need to reclaim those. And you get that through connection, through who you surround yourself by, and through stories. Not to say you're going to surround yourself by people that are going to tell you to, you know, jump off and the net will appear, but that can be appropriate sometimes. But just to say we need to give ourselves the best chance possible if we want to be able to be who we are.
How you dare, how you dare. That was the voice of Marion Cantwell. And it was really, really interesting talking to her because she is someone who, like me, embraces her weird. She talks about how everyone else can do the same. And her story is interesting. She's definitely a TCK, a third culture kid. She grew up in multiple parts of the world. And like many of you listening, she had a bit of an identity crisis, a bit of a moment where she wasn't quite sure who she was. And so she had to go through this moment of deep self-awareness and then find a way to connection, which also led to an understanding of her environment and how she can embrace what her true essence is. And she talks about this concept of being a free-range human, essentially how not to be uncaged, how to be uncaged. And it's an interesting interview because I really love how she dives into these concepts, but I also love her story more. You know, I think a lot of people, when you really want to understand who they are and why they do what they do, you have to dig deep into her story. So her book comes out, the second edition of A Free Range Human. At this point, it's been out for about a week or so. So make sure you get it. You know, the first edition was a bestseller. It's one that you definitely want to get. And it's one that has a lot of tips for you to be a free range human. You want to embrace your weird. I can't leave this intro without continuously thanking you. You know, my book is a month old now. It's a month old. I can't believe it. It's a month old. And, I've gotten some of the numbers and it's been all thanks to you. A lot of you are buying the book. You're sharing the book. You're sending me your thoughts on Instagram. I want to ask, if you've bought the book, please leave a review on Amazon. It helps greatly with the algorithms. And please just, you know, let me know what you think of the book. I really want to hear your thoughts and share with your friends. You know, holiday season is here. So whatever, you know, denomination you are, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, any religion you have, I mean, I'm sure you have holidays coming up. Make sure you consider this as a gift. Anyways, enough plug in the book. The book is Use Your Difference to Make a Difference. And Marion's book is Free Range Human, How to Be a Free Range Human. And we will have the links to both in the show notes. But for now, enjoy the episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is Marion Cantwell. Marion is the author of Be a Free Range Human and the founder of Free Range Humans. We're going to be talking about the idea of learning how to, well, not necessarily fit in. How to make sure your weirdness is your edge. And she is someone who is definitely someone that has found her edge by being weird. She grew up in Australia and she's lived between London and LA. She's testing out New York now. And, you know, she's found her favorite places in some of the most random places in the world. And I love the fact that she's fascinated by personality profiles. And we're going to be talking a lot about travel, a lot about her story and how she really came to develop this niche and this expertise in making sure that people cherish who they are. Welcome to the show, Marian.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, the pleasure is mine. And I'm always curious about stories. Stories are my favorite thing in the world. So when was the first time you realized that you were different?
When I was really young. I grew up in Australia. My mother was Mauritian, French Mauritian. Met my dad in South Africa. My dad was British. They had me in Australia and I grew up speaking French. So there's a lot that going on there that would give even a young kid a pretty good idea that they didn't fit in. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I was a total nerd. I could read fluently from the age of 3. So I was like an overachieving nerd who had a weird accent. And so I kind of grew up with an identity of always being on the edge. And I think that's really carried forward into everything I do today.
I can see that. And the idea of, you know, obviously being in Australia, having a Mauritian mom and then speaking, you know, French, which, by the way, this is my favorite language. I love French. I love speaking French. So one day I want to host a podcast fully in French just to reach that audience, because I never do a lot with my French. But I got to ask this question because I identify with the identity crisis that one has at such a young age. But now you say your weirdness is your edge. But back then, did you see it as being an edge, or were you trying to fit in?
Back right when I was really young, I was definitely trying to fit in. I definitely wasn't someone who wanted to be different, but I couldn't help but be different in how I showed up, in what I valued, in how I spoke. But I think there was a little piece of me that maybe it was quite a stubborn piece that never didn't try that hard to fit in. You know, I wanted to, but when it came down to the crunch, was I going to adapt how I spoke? I wasn't. When it came to the stuff I was meant to be interested in, I think the problem is I'm not very good at faking it. I'd be a really bad actor. And so I'd want to try, but like, I can't fake enthusiasm. I can't fake something for more than about 10 seconds. And so I reconciled myself to the fact that I would just do really well at whatever it is that I did, even in school. I mean, I do my own thing. I end up, when I was in high school, I was kind of bored. So I ended up founding the school newspaper because I was super interested in, like you, in stories, in journalism. I ended up doing all these sort of side projects just because, you know, if you don't fit, and this is where I started realizing your weirdness is your edge. If you don't fit, then you can either expend all your energy in making yourself a smaller version of yourself, yeah, in order to be a shadow version of everyone else who does naturally fit, or you can kind of be forced to find your own path. And I think that's kind of what I end up doing. And I guess it's carried through. It's like, you can't help being weird. What are your options at that point?
No, it certainly carried through, because for you in your career, you don't do the traditional 9-to-5. It almost feels like you've created your own path. You charted your own course. And I am now going to play the devil's advocate here, where what if I'm in a job, right, that I hate, but I can't really quit, or I've convinced myself that I can't really quit. And, you know, it's sort of this corporate gig where I have to continue to push through this hamster wheel in order to pay for my family, pay my debts and things like that. How do you talk to that person and tell them that they can find something that really maximizes their potential? You know, how do you get into the mindset of that person?
I think it would depend on where that person was in their life and what they valued the most. We all make choices at different times. And sometimes the people I meet will be really inspired by the idea of quitting their job and traveling the world. But the reality is, and I actually find that with a huge proportion of people that end up, you know, coming across my work. The reality is they just really wanted a place in the world where they feel like they fitted. They didn't want to feel like they were squishing themselves into a box and having this awful experience. And there's often a third way. It's not all about living from Bali, working on your laptop, even though I've done that for many years. And it's not all about being in the worst job in the world where your boss is bullying you, also being there, by the way, in a tall building and working all hours for a company that doesn't give a damn about you. Done that as well. There are options in between, but you have to just know where you are, who you are, what your influence is, and how are you actually approaching this question? Because if you start approaching it from the perspective of, this is definitely the best that can ever happen to me, and I'm completely stuck, and there's the only thing that's valuable about me is kind of the layers that I've put on myself in order to fit into this world. Things that are innate to me can't have any value. The things that I've spent all this time squishing down, maybe the fact that, say, you're an extrovert in a field of very detail-oriented introverts, for example, or the opposite. If you spent your life squishing that down, then the first part of the conversation we need to have is about that, not about what you can do, whether you can quit your job, what this or that. We need to deal with that because your options come from that place. And this is why, by the way, the weirdness is your edge thing came about, because I realized that all these conversations of changing your life, they were fairly academic until you understand what you have to offer other than the things that you've layered on and other than your job description. And that's the core of it, because I mean, your life opens up so much more once you realize what you actually have underneath.
Sounds to me like you're saying this all boils down to self-awareness, right?
Oh, massively. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way we approach self-awareness as a world, as a tribe, well, world of tribes, is that, you know, sometimes depending on where you are, you more than most people will notice, depending on the culture, you're supposed to be a certain way. You're supposed to act a certain way. You're supposed to be at a certain place by a certain age. And when you start to lose yourself as you grow older and you, quote unquote, fall into a job, or you find that you're unhappy somewhere that seemingly on the outside you're supposed to be happy in, I think what you're saying is you have to look inward and realize what it is that you truly want. Who are you really? And how is that that Venn diagram, how is the intersection of that Venn diagram meet up?
Absolutely. I'd say that's step one. Absolutely. And the second step, which I think really resonate with you, is around connection, which I know is something you're big on, around the who do you have around you and what are the stories you're internalizing is the second thing I'd tell people. I mean, people listen to your podcast or are probably already thinking like this, but you know, if someone did come to me and say, well, there's nothing I can do, I'd say, well, number one, like, let's start with the basics. And number two, what are the stories that you're actually living and internalizing? Quite often, when you've had such influences that tell you that any way other than the way you've lived is unrealistic, how can you fight against what you believe to be unrealistic? You know, unless you decide, you know, most of us want to be a realistic person. And so I would challenge people at that point to say, look, the game isn't to convince yourself that you should be an unrealistic rebel. The game is to really redefine and reclaim what realistic means. So I believe that realistic is a word that has been completely co-opted to mean pessimistic.
Yep,
and you know what I'm talking about, right? It gets twisted. So you never hear, I bet you hear this a lot in New York, for example. You never hear someone say, you know, you tell someone you're going to New York and they don't tend to say, oh, great thing you're going to New York. It's a really safe, friendly city. Like, you're probably more likely to hear someone say, oh, be careful out there. You know, It's a hard world. And I'm like, no, like the reality of most of the day-to-day, even in this city, is that you walk out the door and guess what? You don't get killed. Like, that's actually the reality of the day to day. Your odds are you're not going to get killed today. But that's not how people talk. They say, when you say get realistic, it doesn't mean get realistic, you're probably not going to get mugged when you walk out the door. It means get realistic, it's a harsh world. And it was actually a real moment in my life when I realized, and I think it was when I was in a job, I started realizing that the word reality had just being co-opted to mean anything pessimistic. And so I got really curious, which I encourage everyone to do. You know, don't try to reprogram yourself. Try to get curious about what is actually realistic in a situation. So for example, if someone going to come to me and say, maybe they have a business or they're in a job and say, I can't possibly change this because I can't make enough money doing the thing I want to make, or I can't make enough money doing anything else. And first thing I ask is, well, what else would you want to do? And often they come back and say, I don't know. And I'm like, so you're basing your ideas on what's realistic based on an alternative you don't even know yet.
Yeah.
That you haven't, you know what I mean? Like, that's what we need. We need to reclaim those. And you get that through connection, through who you surround yourself by, and through stories. Not to say you're going to surround yourself by people that are going to tell you to, you know, jump off and the net will appear, but that can be appropriate sometimes. But just to say we need to give ourselves the best chance possible if we want to be able to be who we are.
So self-awareness, and be very mindful of your environment. Make sure that your environment is one that leads to connection. My best friend always says, follow your curiosity. And it's something that I've always, you know, kept in mind. But it's interesting that you talked about how people sometimes don't know what it is that they want to do. They just know they want more. And I do believe that the quote unquote realistic has robbed us of our dreamers. because you know, there's nothing wrong with quote unquote being unrealistic. But I love how you said it's actually a synonym now for pessimism, because when I think about the Wright brothers or people that have come up with the greatest inventions, going to the moon, flying airplanes, at some point, someone probably told them, you know, that there's such a thing called gravity, right? You know, you're not really going to go up and fly over there. What do you mean? You know, and I don't know why I had that accent. I think I was going like for one of those old time presidents.
Yeah, but I was going to say that was like an old time accent.
But it's interesting where someone has to dare to think differently. Now,
absolutely.
That's the definition of fitting out and making sure that you stay true to who you are. So, okay, first step is self-awareness. Second step is connection. I also think there's something interesting with your story that sort of aligns between these two things here. We'll talk about your personality type later on because I'm very curious about that. But you noticed as you were figuring out who you are and working through your connections that you're very open about your living on and off with anxiety and having bouts of depression.
Yes.
This is a big deal in today's world in sense of this when you admit things like this, and I'm someone that's dealt with anxiety, PTSD. When you admit things like that, that can be a very limiting story if you tell yourself the wrong version of it. And you can also use that to sort of prevent your growth or stunt your growth. I'm curious as to how you found that transparency with these type of moments in your life, or the fact that you have anxiety and you've had depression in the past led you to actually grow your business and your personal development.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you brought that up. That's actually, until a few years ago, I didn't talk about it, mostly because I didn't know I had it. This is the weirdest thing for me was I wasn't someone who had an identity as being, you know, anxious or depressive. I didn't have those. I knew that those things existed. I didn't know that much about them. And I was pretty sure it wasn't me, right? Because you can hear me now. I'm pretty enthusiastic. I'm generally fairly positive. I was like, I didn't identify as any of those things. Now with the knowledge I have, I look back over my life and it 100% has been a story of someone who has worked with very intense anxiety and depression. I didn't know that. So I think I was really lucky in a sense. I was lucky not to know it. But the reason that I think it's so important I speak out about it now is it was only when I took it seriously that I was really able to turn it into even more of a strength. And it's influenced every part of my business and my life. So the first thing is, I'd say, is everyone has a different version of it, but my version of how especially anxiety shows up for me is I can't kid myself. You know, I can't, when I was in a job, and I didn't know I had these things. I was working in a really intense job in a strategy consultancy, and I would get knocked by things that other people wouldn't get knocked by. And I was doing my best. Like I was the one who'd show up in the morning. I'd stay late at night. I was really committed. I wanted to sort everything out. But despite all that wanting and despite my view of myself as a very type A person, I would get, if I'd get this awful client and I would literally start stuttering and not be able to speak, and I would just be in tears in the bathroom. I'd have days where I couldn't leave the house because I was too afraid of the world outside. And that was so at odds with how I showed up in the world. So that was my internal world. And then I show up and I couldn't talk about it because it was almost like a weird blip, or like waking up from a dream afterwards. And I go in these cycles. It was the real reason I actually quit my job, which I actually talk about in the second edition of my book, Be a Free Range Human. I didn't talk about it in the first edition, but in the new updates coming out in 2019, I do talk about that, because the real reason I quit my job was I realized one day that this weird thing that I had, where I couldn't seem to handle as much as other people, meant that I didn't want to rise any further in what I was doing. I was already at a sort of a director level in what I was doing at a pretty young age. And I looked at it and I was like, this is just more and more of the things that seem to make my mind freeze. I didn't know that that was called anxiety at the time. But I was like, this thing that happens. And therefore, I'm going to have to craft a career based on who I am. And I share this because now I look back at Free Range Humans, at the book Be a Free Range Human, and the whole movement that started behind it. You know, it started 10 years ago and it grew up, especially in the UK, and now it's going overseas as well. It got a big movement. The book ended up being a bestseller in the UK, translated around the world. And the core of it, the difference behind it that made it different from so many other things out there, was that it was written by someone who didn't go, I want to quit my job to travel the world and be an entrepreneur. It was, I did do that, but the reason behind it and the why behind everything is I want to be who I am and make the most of who I am without having to put myself into someone else's box. And it came from that much gentler, much more personalized space. And it's attracted a very different audience and a lot of love around it since. And so I look back and I think, if I didn't have that about myself, this ability to not be able to fake it, to even if I tell myself I'll just get over it, my body shuts down. I can't even think. Like, I'll get ill. I'll be in bed. I'll just be like, it's like I can't, everything's black. And I don't have any say in that. And so I look at the thing that is probably the most difficult in my life, and I've had very bad experiences with it. At the same time, it's genuinely been my biggest gift. Because if I could kid myself, I'd still be in a job, or I'd still, at the most, I'd have quit my job and started a business and done it in a way that wasn't me. Does that make sense? That's why I talk about it so much.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And thank you for sharing that. And I love how you basically just said, if you didn't identify your anxiety or the cause of it, or even acknowledge it, you wouldn't be where you are today, which is an interesting thing to acknowledge, because when people have anxiety and when people are, you know, going through depression, sometimes the only thing that they can see right now is what's in front of them, or what they're missing out on because of.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What they're dealing with.
I get that. In that, I was just to interrupt for a second. Is that in that moment? No, none of this is happening in that moment. But here's the thing. I'll tell you some cool stuff around it that could be helpful. If anyone's listening in and has that, one thing I would say is, in the moment, I mean, you're not going to be that positive about things, so like, don't add that to the weight of it. But you know, that's a moment, and that's however long that moment lasts. But what I would say is the reason that I'm so passionate about what I do now and how I live now is that we've set up everything about how I work to work with who I am, including that part of myself. So, for example, and I talk about this in the new edition of the book, in any courses that I run, I don't run them by myself because I want to make sure there's someone else there just in case, it doesn't happen that often, but just in case I end up having a week that's really difficult, I don't want to be in a position to have to support a group of people by myself. And so I always have a really good person next to me, and we've never had a problem because of that. I know that I need huge chunks of time off. And so I've structured all of my work so that I can be off for 3 months at a time. And then I'm back and I'm full of like excitement and enthusiasm and projects. And so it's all these little things. And I would say that, like with anything, we talk about your weirdness being your edge, whatever form that takes. The flip side of that is that it's not naturally your edge. It only becomes your edge when you create the environment for it, which is what we miss out usually. We'd only talk about fitting in and hiding who you are, or this very sort of over glamorized version that everyone should accept you as you are or should reward you for it. It's like actually there's this third way in the middle where we create the terms and the environment. And that's what I'd say to anyone who's going through it now is do whatever you can to create the environment even a little bit more in what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so good. That is so good. And I love the ping pong game you play with these questions, where it's self environment, and it seems to be the running theme with what you're doing. So let's go to your story then. So you then decided to find your niche. How did you find your niche and really essentially become who you are today with your career?
So how did I find what I'm doing now? Some of this stuff I'm talking about actually happened well after that. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's a linear journey at all. Mm. When I ended up quitting my job, I had a few different things that I was doing, none of which are what I'm doing now. I won't go into what they were, because it's a bit of a boring, long story, but I was doing a few different things. One of which was career coaching. I got myself a bit of a career coaching training on the side, and I thought I'll do that on the way because I'm good at, you know, changing jobs and changing careers. That will be a good thing to do. What I noticed was that everyone who came to me was actually more interested in how I quit my job. And so I started writing a blog called Free Range Humans, which back 10 years ago or so, or just a bit less than that actually, got popular. It got a following. I started collaborating with other organizations to run workshops, and built an online business pretty quickly from that point. And it was very much for those of us who feel like we don't fully fit, even though on the outside we can be good at, you know, playing the game and pretending that we do. And it was for people who want to find their direction. And that was the beginning of so much of my work today. With that, I ended up traveling the world. I was a digital nomad full time for maybe 5 years. I came back. I then bought my first place in London using the profits from what I'd built up in my self-employed life, which I was super proud of, because when I was in a job, I thought that if I quit my job, I'd never be able to buy my own place. So I was like, actually, turns out you can completely do that. Then from there, it grew. I ended up moving to LA the other year, and I'm moving to New York now. But the core part underneath it has always been growing this movement of talking about these things we don't often talk about, especially around the bits of ourselves and the weirdnesses that sometimes don't get a look in. We're trying to look at where we should fit. And what I noticed, and one thing I'm really passionate about in all of this as part of the story, is when I started out, it was such a creative space. You know, the whole online world was, there weren't as many formulas. It wasn't a place where you could go, here are 10 steps to kill it online. Like, it just, that stuff didn't really exist. And so I was in a really creative, playful space, like creating the foundations for this world today. And when I look at it now, what I'm often seeing is people going from a job, saying they want more freedom, following another formula and creating another version of a job for themselves. it, be it in terms of how they live day to day or in the sense of who they should be. You know what I mean? Like, we end up people going, oh, there's these big people online doing these things. I need to be more like them. And in Free Range Humans and in the book, what we talk about a lot is, take best case, like best practices, of course. Like, don't be silly about things. But really at the heart of it, you're not doing this to go from one world and then end up squishing yourself in and comparing yourself in another. That's not what we're here for. It's about this. It starts from that beginning of understanding who you are, where you really fit, and growing something based on that, not based on what other people are doing.
Yeah, I think you call it a bespoke career.
That's the one. Yes.
Yeah. It's tailored for them essentially, and it's maximizing all of the good parts of themselves. That's interesting. So you've mentioned the book a few times. Why is the second edition coming out now? What is new here from the first edition?
A lot.
It's different. What's different, rather?
apart from the cover, which is way better, my publisher approached me and said, do you want to do a second edition? Originally, I was like, I'm not sure. Why would I do that? And I thought about it and I realized, gosh, there was a lot that I left out of my own story. So this more gentle stuff around talking openly about my own like weirdnesses and about other people's was in there, but it wasn't the main thing. So I was like, let's redo it. Let's have these honest things. So one new chapter is called, But What If I'm Not a Shiny-Haired, Super Confident Entrepreneur? And it has stories of people who are doing this in all circumstances, from chronic illnesses to mental health, all these different things. That was one of the reasons. The second reason was it just needed updating because the case studies just didn't feel fully right. And the third reason was actually what I just mentioned there about formulas, about how there are so many formulas out there now that are about starting your own thing. And that's never what we were really about. And so we actually developed a mini personality profile that's towards the end of the book for which type of free ranger or which type of entrepreneur are you? And what does that mean that maybe you don't need to worry about focusing on as much? And what might you want to double down on instead? So it's all this stuff that really re-owns that. I guess that it's funny. I loved how you opened this podcast with asking about my own story. I can now see while talking to you how much of that has come, from this lifelong sense of being a little bit on the edge of things, like that passion for embracing that.
Yeah, that's why that's why I always like to start with the story. A lot of people, whenever I interview, because I do a lot of consulting as well, and I work with people on their personal brands in addition to diversity and inclusion when I'm working with companies. And even with companies or when I'm working with people personally, I always say, just tell me the story of the company. What's the goal? Or tell me your story. What is it you want to do? What were your interests? And then sometimes I met with resistance, and then by the end of it, they're like, okay. Because there's a certain separation that happens, and it ends up becoming a disconnect that widens from your self now to your ideal self, or your company right now to your ideal company.
By the way, that happened with me within Free Range Humans a few years back. I'll tell you that when after the first edition came out and it did well, like it was just shared in lots of big places, got a ton of press. I had a total meltdown. I had about a year of like this most serious depression I've had because suddenly I felt erroneously, but I personally felt I had to be a certain thing that people expected me to be. And that wasn't who I was. So I felt that because the press angles we'd used, I was supposed to be this always happy globe-trotting entrepreneur. And I'm like, I'm happy like 80% of the time. I'm not like Little Miss Sunshine all the time. And that's not who I am. And people expect me also to be like all about business. And I'm like, if you look at my bookshelf, I read more about, psychology, philosophy, like that sort of thing. And suddenly I felt like so in a cage that I ended up actually the other year, I actually shut down pretty much all our online courses. I pulled down a six-figure membership because it was so out of alignment with very much what you just saying there, like that thing that happens in a brand when you go a certain way because it's kind of, you've kind of crept there. It's like, well, you did this one logical step, your next logical step. And I found my brand was many logical steps away from who we actually were. And that was a couple of years ago where everything really shifted.
Wow. Where do you think the pressure was coming from, though? Because you got the best-selling book in England, and but who was telling you in your mind that you had to be a certain way?
Oh, I was completely, because like, think about it, if you're a massive overachiever for most of your life.
Yeah,
which I think a lot of your listeners probably are. I definitely am. I'm like really good at overachieving, and I found myself having achieved to this level I'd always wanted to achieve to in my personal work. The issue was I had been a little too clever. And I think especially those of us who are good at branding can fall into this trap. We can be a little too clever sometimes. And I certainly was, in the sense that I knew what would make what I did big. But what I'd forgotten about was what would make what I did me. And I pulled it, like I'd done it as me. Then when it came to the crunch, I was like, what press will we go for? How will we position the book? How will we position the brand? And I just taken these sort of 10%. They weren't not me, but they were like my second or third best thing. And I'd taken everything we talked about here. That wasn't what I was being talked about. That was it. When people knew Free Range Humans and knew me, they're like, well, of course that's what you're about. But when you were just encountering it and people were, you'd run out a survey, what do people want more of? It was always other stuff. Yeah. And I started listening to those voices in my head that said, this is the only thing about you that's valuable. You know, I fell into the trap that I'm now so passionate about. I started thinking the only thing about you that's valuable is all the stuff that makes your heart sink a little bit. And actually took a little bit of time out. And then I was like, this makes no sense. When I talk to people who know the brand well and what they want more of, it's the stuff I want to do. So everything shifted. But yeah, it's in your own head, I think, is where it really comes from.
I love that irony. Is so funny because while writing a book about freedom, you found yourself caged.
completely. I mean, the book itself was fine, and this is the thing. I mean, I've seen it. I've been in that world enough that I'm not the only one. I'm just the one who happens to have, once again, to circle around, the more sensitive, like your nervous system, the more sensitive head. I can't kid myself about it because I get really ill. So it's interesting. I'm always so open about that part of my story now, because it's often, you know, this idea is like, I quit my job and everything was great. It's like, I quit my job, everything was great. Then I had the biggest meltdown of my life, where I sort of sorted myself out by going to Peru and doing ayahuasca, whole other podcast, and then came back and really realized there are different layers. And this is why I tell people now, because I often get people coming to, you know, to my website now and saying, gosh, you're so clear about who you are. You've got this sense of groundedness of, you know, you don't need to prove yourself, and that, like, how do I find that? And I'm like, well, it's layers, you know, take the nearest step that you have in front of you. You might discover something else in 5 years about yourself you don't know today. You might discover something in a month you don't know. In 10 years time, I'm sure I'm going to discover something else about me, but this time I'm really committed to not just having the external success, but being really internally referenced, because you know what I mean? Like, that's where the good stuff really comes out of, the stuff that lasts.
Yeah. There's always something to be discovered. And when you get to a point where you feel like you've plateaued, that's when it gets really dangerous, I think. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, this podcast is definitely going to come out just in time for your book. So where can people find your book and how can people connect with you?
Yay. Well, the best way, wherever you are, is to go to beafreerangehuman.com. That's where you get all the link outs to the book. You'll see a bit more about it. So check out beafreerangehuman.com, all about the book. If you're on Instagram, come say hi at Free Range Marianne. I tend to be all over the stories on Instagram. And you can also check out my personal website at mariannecantwell.com, or any combination or variation of the above.
Okay, well, all that will be in the show notes. But now I want to talk about your personality type assessment. And I also know that you're an ENFP. I'm an ENFJ, but we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about your personality. You said you have an assessment in your profile.
Okay, so we actually don't have an assessment. We have a self-identifying profile. So it's not like there's a questions. There's just like three profiles and you can self-identify. And they were co-developed with a client of mine who is, well, actually now a colleague, who's an expert in Myers-Briggs and a few and other systems. And it came out of this observation where, have you ever seen someone who starts out trying to do their own thing and they're really committed and they're really positive, but they just can't get it right consistently for a very long time. Great. I saw a lot of them because I had that business that was helping them. And at one point I was like, I'm getting to know these people really well. They're becoming my friends. And a lot of these people, it's not their mindset. Something else is different about this. And I got curious a few years ago. And so I started looking at how did people actually attract? So I looked just at attraction, not at anything else. Were there different natural styles for attraction? And I found that there was definitely a yes. And so we categorized them into three categories. And we call them your attraction styles or the free range attraction styles. And one of them is the attractor, which is, I think, very much you and definitely me. And these are the people who are very good at being front of house, at drawing people in through, you know, having a brand, through, being very visible. However, I would say that's 10% of people who are successful at what they do. The problem is it's close to 90% of what we see because the attractor's main thing is being visible. So I was like, what, right? So when you know you're an attractor, there are certain things you really need to do in order to really be in your power. So a lot of it's about being in your power. If you're hiding your story, then, or your brand story, you're not going to be successful as an attractor. If you don't know how to communicate clearly and go from there to purchase, you're not going to be successful as an attractor. But there are things you can do to make sure those things happen. The other two profiles, though, are actually fairly different. They're more common, and they're called connector and trusted person. And again, these are about attraction style, not about who you are, say, when you're with clients. Like, you can be an attractor and be trusted by your clients. It's about what's the primary way people are attracted to you. So a trusted person is the opposite to an attractor. They are best with one-on-one connections, and they form really deep long-term relationships, and that's where they get their money from. So they very, very rarely put up a brand and get their social media right and get clients through that. It will be through they've met someone who recommended them to someone else. If they want to go big, then they end up being trusted by, say, a bunch of attractors who bring them in as the go-to person in this area. And so there's a lot more about that in the book, but that's a very different profile. And connector, they're the ones who can spend their entire day chatting and somehow seem to come out with this magical way with some sort of a connection that leads to something at the end of it. So connectors are the chatters. They're the ones who know everybody, and they make their money in totally different ways. And so without going into doing a long podcast on it, it's really interesting. Once we tested this for quite a while, how it frees you up to be more of you. Because the first thing we discover when we told people about this is everyone thinks that they're all of them. And that's the first one. The second thing is when you discover the one that you are, there's a moment of resistance because you think it's the only bad one. Because it can't have value because it feels too easy.
Yeah.
It feels right. It feels useless, or it feels like you're a show off if you're the attractor, or it feels like you're just chatting if you're the connector. Reality is all of them have equal success. So it's not, that story isn't true. And the third thing that happens is curiosity, but how can I use this? And I feel like that maps our journey of using our weirdness as our edge. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. I'm so curious now. I have to get this book.
Yeah. I'm absolutely fascinated with personality types, and I love.
Are you? These,
oh my goodness! Yeah. I'm so ENFJ. You're an ENFP. ENFP. I'm a massive Harry Potter fan, so I'm a Ravenclaw. I take all these tests, but with you, it says that you're ENFP authors are mostly wildly creative, one of a kind voices of literature. So you share Charles Dickens. Anne Frank, and then you've also have Amy Schumer, the Ricky Gervais, yes. Jennifer Aniston, J.J. Abrams. All right, okay.
There you go. Apparently, we've just got a few of them. By the way, I do like a good ENFJ. I think you guys are you're so on it. We use profiling so much. I actually use it in how I partner with people in my work.
Really?
There's a few systems I use, one of them being specifically for entrepreneurs. And then there's this Myers-Briggs, because it can help you. I think it can help you really to go back to the theme, inhabit your weirdness, because the other person gets to inhabit theirs. That makes sense. You like, I have my colleague who's developed the styles with me. She's an INTJ profile, for anyone who knows the system. She's very different to me, very detail oriented, very structured, probably less front of house, but like very long-term relationships. And we chime completely because I get to inspire with the big picture, and she comes in and she maps out the system in a way that you really understand rationally. And so when you get two people together, I think two people working well together is like 10x results every time if you get the right combo.
That's right. I love
so
that.
Exciting. This is so we could talk about so this topic fun. For a long time. Yeah.
Well, in the interest of time, because I know we could talk about this forever, I have this final question that I always ask all my guests, and it's my mission statement reframed as a question. So how do you use your difference to make a difference?
Exactly this. I talk really openly about my weirdnesses and all those things, and I help others talk openly about theirs and share that with people. So I like to inspire people to use exactly the things that we're most ashamed of. And I do that by talking about mine and talking about other people's as well.
Yeah, through transparency. Love it. Marion Cantwell, ladies and gentlemen, and gender nonconformers, this is amazing. So what's going to happen now is we're going to make sure the book and then the link to the book is out there, and we'll make sure that you have access to her website and every other thing. But I just want to thank you so much for being authentic, sharing your stories, and talking about the best ways to be free-range humans.
Thank you so much. It's been fun.
All right. The pleasure is mine. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen and gender nonconformers, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.